This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and Mayfield Florists.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure,
direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
...the Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is Fred and Jeff Joe. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are talking about the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is right, Fred.
And we invite people to visit us at FredandJeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes. We also would like you folks to send us an email at Fred@FredandJeff.com and get... hooked up on our weekly newsletter where we talk about who's coming up on the show. There's some links for our sponsors. And I think down the line, we're going to be having some coupons added to the old newsletter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good idea, Fred.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, sometimes I have good ideas.
That wasn't your idea.
Yes, it was.
Okay, good enough.
So, you know, one of the amusing things about doing the show is that people who listen to the show will see us out in public. And they shove stuff in our hands saying, hey, could you promote our thing coming up? And I was at the opening of the Arizona International Film Festival over at Crossroads, and I bumped into our old friend, Dr. Neil West.
Yeah, good old Neil.
Yeah, and they have a dedication concert coming up at Catalina United Methodist Church. It's the Catalina Organ Festival. I guess they just had some kind of new organ put in.
Is this organ transplant or organ that you pay? Play.
It's an organ you pay. No. It's an it's an organ. It's a musical organ.
Nice.
That you play, that is played. And so on May 2nd, Friday, May 2nd, they're going to have a concert at 7 p.m. I believe it's free and open to the public. And if it's not, just have Neil. Neil will get you in for free. So just ask for Neil West.
Tell him that Friend Jeff said my entry is free.
Tell him Friend Jeff sent you, and we can get in for free.
There you go.
That
I like
would be
that.
Perfect. Yeah.
We'll make sure we post that one on the website.
Yeah, exactly.
And Facebook. Yeah.
And we'll put Neil's phone number and all sorts of fun things.
Yeah, that, I like that. I like that. His address, maybe his email account.
Yeah, perfect.
That'll be good.
You know, this is sort of a musically bent show today.
Interesting.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But on
Why, because we have bumper music,
we always have bumper music. Yeah. We're going to have some special bumper music today. But on May 3rd and the 4th, which is Saturday and Sunday, the 29th annual Tucson Folk Festival is happening.
What's your favorite folk song, Fred?
Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, yes. It's spot on, Fred. Good for you. Good for you. Spot on.
So
perfect Fred song.
That is my favorite folk song.
Okay. And who sings that song, Fred?
Peter Paul and Mary.
Very good.
Yeah. You want anything, to know anything else?
Sing a couple bars for us, will
No, you?
You
don't want that to happen. So there's going to be over 120 performing artists from Southern Arizona and across the country. There'll be workshops, children's shows, foods and crafts, all free.
You think the Main Street Singers will be there?
I don't know, but I hope that, I can't even think, Mick and Mickey.
Oh, they might make an appearance?
They might.
Nice.
Everything's free probably except for the food. And it's happening at downtown Tucson, El Presidio Park, Tucson Museum of Art, and La Cocina at the Old Town Artisans.
Nice.
There was something, I'll eventually get to it, but there's something, oh, never mind. It's going on today, but it's already happened.
And what was it that we missed?
It's actually a concert at Catalina United Methodist.
Oh, bummer.
It ended like minutes ago.
Well, congratulations on a great show, folks.
That was good.
Have a safe drive home.
Our friends at the Gaslight Theater are presenting Beach Blanket Bebop. It's their summer show running through June 8th over at the Gaslight Theater. And just, you know, we need to have Tony Terry on the show. At some
we
point.
We should have Tony Terry on the show.
Because that guy has done so much in this community.
Well, and didn't he loan you that outfit you wore, the 1880s outfit you wore for the tribute to the Ronstadt family last weekend?
Yeah, the PM Council on Aging, we had the big gala.
Yeah, yeah.
And they recognized the contribution that the Ronstadt family made.
All two of them.
All of us. Yeah, all two of them.
All two of the contributions.
Yeah. Let's see. What else is going on? Oh, Venus in Fur is still running at the Arizona Theater Company, which is very cool. And, you know, we were supposed to have David Ira Goldstein on this week.
Yeah, what happened to him?
He was in Texas for Passover. But he has a handler. He has a PR handler.
Really?
Yeah, so they screwed up. So nice. We're getting them on down the line. But,
perfect.
But
no Venus in Fur for David?
Yeah, and that's running, gosh.
David's in Texas in Boots.
Texas in Boots.
You know, Venus in Fur, Texas in Boots.
Oh.
Keep going.
That's running through the 26th of this month. So you just have about 6 days to check it out.
And I heard it's
fantastic. It is phenomenal.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Don't be making suggestions about how awesome something is when you haven't seen it yet.
No, I have seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the main character's name?
Venus. And he wears furs.
Beautiful. And he wears furs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's a little bit of cross-dressing there.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, no, don't listen to me. So a couple last things for me, Jeffrey. There's a sacred space gathering at Maker House. And it's actually every Sunday. It started a couple weeks ago. Well, actually, last week, every Sunday, they're doing this thing from 4:30 to 6:30 at the Maker House Courtyard downtown, the old Bates Mansion.
Mm-hmm. The old MO Club used to be there, right?
Right. Live music and wisdom narratives.
Wisdom narratives. Kind of like the Fred and Jeff Show.
That is exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
There's free childcare at Playformance for the first 30 kids that RSVP.
Oh, because Playformance is right around the corner.
Yeah, I think the parents have to RSVP, but it's first 30 kids.
Okay.
Outdoor gathering, bring your own blanket at dinner. They have beer and wine at Maker House for purchase. And it's free just to come and hang out and unwind a little bit. Rejuvenate yourself before the week starts on Sundays.
Awesome.
Yeah, and you're laughing a little butt off.
No, that's not true. I'm chuckling a bit. That's good. So is that at Maker's House every...
Maker House every Sunday.
Maker House every Sunday. So
yeah.
That's today.
Yeah.
And what about our friends at Happy Tuesdays?
We're not going to talk about that. They actually... The Loft, who we love The Loft.
Uh-oh.
They canceled Happy Tuesdays.
No way!
Well, the problem was is that people were laughing so hard and making so much noise in the back patio, it was disturbing people in the theater.
Really?
Yeah. So Mike Sterner and Bridget Thumb, who came up with that whole concept of Happy Tuesdays,
are looking for a new location.
They're looking for a new venue and maybe some new blood and some new ideas. But there was a cult following for that, and they did a great job. And
I know exactly where they should do it.
Where?
At the Laszlo Varish band shell at Udall Park.
Nah.
It's small. It's intimate. Why would you say no to that?
At Udall?
At Udall, where the Arizona Symphonic
wins. No, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Or the Symphonic Strings play.
I think they're looking for somewhere where it won't cost a whole lot of money.
Well, it's because, a city park. How much could that cost?
Well, you got to pay the man.
Well, yeah,
to do stuff.
Still, the man might not want that much money down there.
Who knows? But they're actually talking about Maker House.
Maker House.
Or you know, in the courtyard. So they're looking at options. The last thing I want to talk about is on May 17th, the Greater Tucson Fire Foundation is having its third annual poker run. And we'll be posting some more information and talking about that down the line. Some other stuff we'll talk about later in the show with some of our guests. But in studio with us,
oh boy,
is friend of the show, Major Goofball.
He's looking good today. He's got a suit on and a tie.
Well, thank you very much.
Lift the microphone a little bit, Tony. So there you go.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, he's got to be defending some kid in court today.
Yeah.
So Tony Zinman, how you doing?
Real good. How you guys doing? Great to be here.
Oh, good to have you. So what are you up to?
Busy times. I'm getting ready for my son's bar mitzvah on Memorial Day weekend. So
yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of running around with my head cut off. But main reason I'm here is I want to tell the folks about his bar mitzvah project, which is going to be an 80s music video sing-along second Saturday in May at the Screening Room downtown. We're going to play music video, everybody's favorite music videos, Pat Benatar, Def Leppard, Journey, Michael Jackson, of course. And we're going to pass out lyric sheets, and we're going to have a couple of contests. We're going to have a singing contest, karaoke contest, 80s, of course. We're going to have a costume contest with some prizes. It's going to be a blast, and that's my son's bar mitzvah project. He came up with the idea, and he's putting it together. Because whenever a kid has a bar mitzvah, they're required to do some sort of a community project.
Is this like sort of like being an Eagle Scout?
Kind of. I mean, a lot of kids will collect, they'll collect money for a cause, or they'll collect eyeglasses. But we thought we'd do a fun project. And we're going to be raising money for, and food for animal shelters. The requested suggested donation is a bag of pet food or $4. And hoping we think we're going to have some animals outside for adoption. So it should be a blast.
That's awesome. So you're going to, okay, so here are my requests, my 80s requests for you. I want Gary Myrick in the Figures, Flash in the Pan, which is actually late 70s, maybe a little early 80s.
No, they definitely count as the 80s. Yep. Media Man and Hey St. Peter.
That's true.
Yeah, those are 80s.
Jay Giles.
Yeah. We're going to have Centerfold. Definitely Centerfold.
Oh, we got to have Freeze Frame.
I think one or the other, I think.
And some Talking Heads, maybe?
Burning down the house.
Not sure if that's on the, you know it's kind of hard to obtain the videos. So
Stop Making Sensors. That you go down to Casa Video and get the whole movie.
There you go.
Sure, that might not be a bad idea, actually.
Tony, we need this to be a high-class operation.
Yeah.
Not just you and Rolfie down there looking around.
So you need the gray suit with the big shoulders.
Are you saying that Thompson twins are not high-class?
No, I didn't say that. I just would. We're good to go, Tony. Good. So tell our folks, tell our listeners when it is again.
It's going to be second Saturday in May, May 10th, from 5:30 to 8:30. And again, suggested donation is a bag of pet food or $4.
All right.
Awesome.
Good.
Now, there's
it's
also
at the screening room.
It is the screening
downtown.
Room. And we also have a little other treat that you have for us.
Yeah. I'm involved down at the Red Barn Theater, and a couple times a year we do music reviews.
Wait a minute. I thought they closed the Red Barn Theater down.
No, the Red Barn Theater is up and running, and we're always doing. There's always a play going on.
Some cash passed hands, and so now they're open again.
Good job. Well,
they had an issue with the fire marshal, and the
did they take him out?
Well, they closed it down, but then there was an appeal, and they won their appeal. So
did you represent them for the appeal?
I did not.
No wonder they won.
You're very funny. What a guy. I'll see.
I'm here all week.
I'll see. I'll give you no chance.
Try the deal.
Thank you.
But yeah, so. So last fall, I did a 1940s review with them. We have about 10 people doing about 30 songs from the 40s. We're in costume. We have dancing. It's like a party. And it's such a good time. They asked me back to do a 1920s review, which is happening May, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the first weekend in May. I think that's second, third, and fourth, I think.
What songs did you sing in the 40s review?
I sang Don't Get Around Much Anymore. Had a solo of that.
Nice.
And I had a couple of duets, and we sang about 10 group songs.
Nice.
I had You Made Me Love You was my duet. And it's funny, I know a lot of songs from the 40s, but I didn't know if I knew any songs from the 20s, but I got the song list, and they're all songs everybody knows. You know, California, Here I Come. I'm doing a solo of Swanee, George Gershwin.
Swanee.
From George Gershwin.
How does that go?
Swanee, how I love you, Swanee, I love you, Swanee. I'm still learning it. and I'm doing a duet of Button Up Your Overcoat, When the Wind Is Free, Take Good Care of Yourself, You Belong to Me.
Very nice, Tony.
I'm doing a duet. Yeah, it's going to be a total blast. And that is, like I say, first weekend in May. So
beautiful. And that's at the Red Barn Theater. Where exactly is the Red Barn Theater?
Red Barn is on First in Maine, about a block south of Maine and Speedway, where Oracle turns into Speedway.
Love it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. Maybe not first, but you definitely heard it here. Go down to the Making Whoopee. That's a good song. Swanee, California, Here I Come, Sweet Georgia Brown, Stardust, Me and My Shadow, Ain't Misbehaving, Babyface, Bye Bye Blackbird. Tony, these are some great, great tunes. I didn't know these were from the 20s either. 5 Foot Two. Know any more of that?
Haven't learned it yet.
All right, folks, so head down to the Red Barn Theater for the 20s musical, Roaring 20s Musical Review. Head over to the screening room for a little 80s karaoke. Oh, not karaoke. Is it just...
Well, we're going to have a karaoke contest, but for the audience, it'll be a sing-along. So.
All right, folks, and if you want more information, check out the friendjeff.com webpage, and we've got to take a quick break. We'll be back for more.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome, Tony, here on the Friend Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And Jeffrey!
Fred!
Personal point of privilege. It's the statement.
Time's up.
That was time's
personal
up.
Personal point of privilege.
Yeah.
I'm so. Up.
No, I get as much privilege as I want. So one of the things that we like taking privilege with having our own show is inviting some awesome musical talent. And we have in studio with us Petey Ronstadt and Michael J. Ronstadt, who are two-thirds of Ronstadt Generations.
Correct.
Two-thirds of that. Our little cousin Mikey, Michael G., let's be formal. Yeah. Michael G. is back in Pennsylvania.
You know, as much as he doesn't like being called Mikey, he doesn't mind Miguelito.
Miguelito.
Oh, Miguelito.
No kidding. Miguelito. If you're listening to us in Pennsylvania right now, hola.
So you guys have just released a new album.
We just released a new album, an EP of sorts, since it's a short album. But we had a... 2 years ago, we released a full length called Prelude, and we ended up with 8 extra songs, and we didn't know what to do with these 8 extra songs, and it was too many covers to put on a new album, so we just decided to release them as they were, finish them up, put our vocals and stuff on them, and release them and put them out there in the world. So,
all right.
Yeah. So now, so well, you have Prelude, you and now the new album is Epilogue.
The new one is Epilogue. Yep.
I like it.
Yeah.
And so, and you guys have you've been out there touring around too, haven't you?
We have been.
Yeah,
been
a little bit here and there. We actually have been home this stretch for a long time.
This winter we've been home, which has been nice.
Yeah, which is nice. We've been in a nice part of the country and stayed out of the snow.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
But we're heading back out again in May. We go to the Genoa Cowboy Festival, and then we head back to the East Coast in June.
Very nice. But you got something going on locally too.
Sure, we're always playing around town, but we have a concert coming up May 19th, which is a Monday night at the Gaslight Theater, which should be fun. It's always a fun time there at the Gaslight.
Absolutely.
And then on every other Monday night that we're not out of town, or we play at the Chicago Bar. So that's
over at Speedway and Wilmot.
Speedway and Wilmot, and it's started to become a nice little gathering of folks.
All right, that's great. So now if these folks want to get your old stuff or your new stuff, where should they go?
RonstadtGenerations.com will find you anything that we've put out. And if you can't remember that, just Google Ronstadt Generations, and, you know, you can find it that way.
Very good. Very good.
iTunes, CD Baby.
Yeah. iTunes, CD Baby.
All
right,
we're all over the place, you know. So.
And then we're going to lean on you guys to play a little something that's not on your new one, but something we understand.
We just worked it up in the hallway.
In the hallway.
Beautiful. But it is a Tucson song.
It is.
It one of the neat things, you know, we call this Ronstadt Generations because Petey's, I say fifth generation, and I call us fourth generation, calling our you know, Frederick Augustus first. But it's nice that this is a song that our good family friend Lalo Guerrero put out a long time ago on a parody album, and we've sung it for years and years, and now Petey's bringing it back, so this is a wonderful thing how it goes through the different generations.
I like it. All right, guys.
It's the saddest song in the world.
I love tortillas, and I love them dearly. You'll never know just how sincerely. I love the corn ones, y también harina. But when my wife calls out from love, cocina. There's no tortillas, there's only bread. There's no tortillas, and I feel so sad. My grief I cannot hide. There's no tortillas for my refine. Without tortillas, there would be no burritos. Without the corn ones, there would be no fritos. I love to hold them, tenderly enfold them. Oh, how I dread to eat with bread. Believe me, there's no tortillas, there's only bread. There's no tortillas, and I feel so sad. My grief I cannot hide. There's no tortillas for my refrain.
Woo!
Yeah! All right.
A little impromptu, no tortillas.
Very nice, guys. All right, folks, you want more from the Ronstadt Generations, head to RonstadtGenerations.com. Or check them out on iTunes or CD Baby. And we will be right back with more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Chuchon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That's right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, subscribe to this Tome of Wisdom and Entertainment on iTunes, and subscribe to our humble little newsletter.
So how can we have such a tome of wisdom and entertainment and a humble little newsletter?
Well, somebody's got to be humble. You got to add that. It's part of, you know, the big or the whole package is a little humility.
Got it.
Narcissism got it. And humility.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Perfect. So, you know, a couple weeks ago we had Mia Schneibel from the Screen Room and the Arizona International Film Festival in studio.
And that was just a
train wreck.
Horrible show.
Train wreck.
Terrible.
Show. But we decided to have her back.
Because we need her back. Because it was a fabulous show, actually. And we actually got to be the sneaky guys and watch that movie.
Which one?
The short, the Province of Kabul Province. What was it?
Mirage Zambul Province.
Oh, man. It was fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, no, we had opening night at, I was at Crossroads, but there was also some stuff going on at the Screen Room. Yeah. And I saw Cass and...
Cass and Dylan.
And Dylan.
Yeah, with Richard Dreyfuss, directed by Jason Priestley.
Yeah, phenomenal movie. Yeah. And, you know, it's just interesting because there are things that are, like, very cliche. And, you know, you're
name
like...
two.
Well, you.
Okay, there's one.
And me.
Your shirt.
Yeah, my shirt.
Okay.
So, but I mean... Because, you know, there are elements of the story that are like, you've seen it before, and you know, but when it's done, I don't know, it was just done in such a special way that it was fresh, and it was just a really great movie.
Yeah, that's the one great thing about independent film. You're not guaranteed a sequel. You can kill off a main character. You never know what's going to happen.
So it's all kind of like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it is. You never know.
Someone's getting whacked this week,
and
King
it could
Joffrey
be you.
Got it last week.
Could be
awesome.
You.
What?
Oh, you didn't see that?
You need to say spoiler
alert. Spoiler alert.
Sorry. Or if you have read the book.
Yeah.
Or if you read the book.
Read the book.
I've read the book.
Well, then you knew.
Books.
then you know.
I know a lot of things.
Yes. So sorry,
I know
folks,
things you don't know I
if
know.
If you have, if I have it on TiVo and haven't watched it yet, blame Fred.
So, but what I wanted me to come back because this is a 3-week festival. I mean, there are movies, over 120 movies.
135, 31 countries. And we still have 56 films left.
Holy mackerel.
Plus the best of. And we usually cram in, we usually show about 15 of the best of.
Okay, right now, my vote for best, I don't know what category this was in, but Troop 491.
Love it. Great guys, great film. I think every kid growing up should see that.
And that the director, and I couldn't pronounce his name.
Pareem.
He was a great
Pareem.
Guy.
No,
Pareem.
Pareem. Yeah. He's a great guy, and the guy who played the father in the movie came as well.
Yeah, Michael.
They were here, and it was just his first movie.
Uh-huh.
And it was just phenomenal.
Phenomenal. And then they were part of the festivals in the school program, our FITS program, and they went down to the Drachman Boys and Girls Club and spoke to those kids down there. And then they went to Tucson High and spoke to some kids there. So they're great guys, and it's a great film.
Yeah, and then I went to the animated shorts and Fluffo.
Fluffo.
Was like my favorite of all those.
See, I was a big fan of Amka and the Three Golden Rules.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one. That was a good one. And also Cine Cubano, you know, your...
The Cuban program. We have 14 films from Cuba this year. We have the strongest Cuban film program in the United States this year.
Well, Hombres de Crocodillos was very good. Very good.
Can't beat it.
No.
And we had a band the other day.
You can beat the crocodile, but not the movie.
Yeah, we had a band the other day that played before and in between the movies and after. It was great. We're dancing.
So now we're looking forward to the Irish shorts.
We are looking for the Irish shorts, and this is
like
a normal
Irish
festival.
Day.
This would be on day two. We still have 9 days of the festival left.
Wow.
The whole festival left.
It goes through the 27th, right?
Yep.
So actually 7 days.
7 days.
But you're tired, though. You've been doing this
for months. Well, yeah. Seven plus the Sunday, so it's 8, because today.
Oh, okay.
Because today. So we'll split the difference.
We'll split the difference. Awesome. Yeah, and there's plenty of awesome movies yet to see.
It's amazing what we have. Thursday, we have a film called Hotel Congress. The Canadians came down, filled at a Hotel Congress. Then we're having a party at Hotel Congress after the movie that everyone's invited to. Salvador Durant's going to play, party on the patio. It's going to be a good time.
And when is that? That's this Thursday?
Yeah, this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the screening room.
And the actual name of the film is Hotel Congress?
Hotel Congress.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
I'm also looking forward to the short documentaries on Tuesday the 22nd.
So oh, yeah. Those are really good.
Yeah, they look pretty...
those are pretty intense.
Yeah, that's a good word.
And that's the cool thing about shorts. It's very hard to do a short film because you only have a certain amount of time pack in beginning, end, you know, because like if it's a long movie, you can kind of dawdle.
Oh, yeah.
Short film, you know, it's right there.
You got to get to the point.
No messing around.
The movie that we talked about earlier, that thing was amazing. 16-minute movie.
Yeah.
And it was quite.
Getcha.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
So.
And then we have the Harlem Street Singers. That's incredible. That's going to be on Friday the 25th at 6 p.m. All these are at the screening room downtown. Easy to find right across from the Chicago store.
Yeah, you
and
know,
I get preferential parking right up front.
You do. Parking's so
park
easy.
Don't park outside the box, though, Fred.
That don't. Think outside the box, park inside the box. There's nice little white lines.
No. I biked downtown.
Yeah,
so.
He did. He biked. He parked right in front.
Right
he
in
walked
front.
Five steps.
In. Good for him.
And if you don't want to ride your bike and walk five steps, you could drive. Go down Congress, take a ride on Scott. Park in Pennington Garage. Cost you a couple bucks. 220 steps.
220 steps.
Mia steps.
Those are little steps.
Yeah, they're little steps.
They're quick and little, but they're...
Quick and little.
They'll get you there.
Yeah. But meters are free after 5. All weekend they're free. Just make sure you park inside that box so you don't get a ticket and get towed because the streetcar is coming through. And it's starting July 25th. We're so excited.
Right.
Plug the streetcar since I'm here.
So you brought a friend with you.
Yes, I did. We are so excited. He just arrived about a week ago, all the way from Ireland. And that's the cool thing about film festivals. This festival, we've had over 60 filmmakers from all over the world fly in. And that's the cool thing about festivals. You get to meet them. They introduce their films. You get to watch the films. You get to do a Q&A. And then you get to go hang out with them afterwards and talk about film. And we're very fortunate that he flew all the way over from Ireland just for our festival.
All right.
So I would like to introduce the filmmaker of A Fighting Heart, Des Kilbane. Welcome.
Thank you, Mia. And thank you guys for having me on the on your show, and it's great to be in Tucson for the Arizona International Film Festival.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. So tell us, how long have you been a filmmaker?
About 4 years.
4 years?
Yes.
So right out of college?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I was a very mature student.
What did you do before you were making films?
I worked in IT. And I decided to leave and pursue my dream of being a filmmaker. And I went back to college in Galway on the west coast of Ireland. And I got my degree and I started making films.
So you're kidding. You really went back to school, got your degree in filming.
Yeah.
And off you went.
Absolutely.
Now, tell us, how do you have such a passion for filmmaking?
I love film. I love film from when I was a child. I actually saw Ingmar Bergman's Wild Strawberries on Irish television when I was about 7 or 8 years old, and it just stuck with me. I just thought, this is fantastic. I just thought that film, I'll always remember. That's probably, and also The River of No Return. I saw that one in the local film theater with John Wayne, I think it was, or Robert Mitchum. I forget who it was. Marilyn Monroe was definitely in it, and Robert Mitchum, I think. But that really, I just loved the whole, the Wild West, and just filmmaking. I just thought, like, that would be my dream. If I ever could make a film, it would be fantastic.
Did you ever make a Western?
Not yet.
You got plans.
Well, I do make documentaries, really. So, it's not beyond the realms of possibility, but we'll see.
We have the whole spaghetti Western genre.
Yeah.
So we can have the Emerald Isle Western genre you create.
It could possibly, yes.
And we'll take credit for the idea, but yeah. you can have the top billing.
And we'd like 10% of the proceeds. Thank you very much.
Okay, you got it. Yeah.
All right, there it is. See, in Arizona, what you just said is a verbal contract. And we got to get Tony back in here. So now, we really want to talk about your film, A Fighting Heart. Is this the first film that you've done?
It's my first feature.
First feature?
Yes.
Okay, and so you said a minute ago that you just do documentaries.
Yes, up to this I've done short documentaries, and which have been shown in Irish film festivals, but this is my first feature, yeah.
So what kind of documentaries did you do in the shorts?
Like local community documentaries, one about a local primary school where they had an organic garden, and I followed that story for a year, filmed the kids growing vegetables for a year. And also two poets, two friends of mine, who the film is called Rhyming Couplet. And so it's really local, like from the heart film.
So kind of filming to you is a very personal journey.
So far, yes, indeed, yeah. I think if a film has got heart, I think for me that's the main characteristic of a film.
Really. Is that what draws you to it, is bringing the heart out of that subject matter?
Yes, the human aspect, the human condition, And if you can get that in the film, I think you're halfway there and making a good film.
So how did you make your leap to boxing, this subject matter?
Okay, well, Johnny Kilbane is a distant relation of mine. I come from an island called Achill Island off the west coast of Ireland. And Johnny's father, his parents came from Achill Island, and they immigrated to Cleveland, Ohio in the late 1800s. And I was kind of aware of Johnny because my father, when I was a child, he was telling me about this relation of ours in America who was a champion. But at the time, it was Ali, Foreman, Frazier. I was interested in the heavyweights, but Johnny was like a featherweight. So I really wasn't that kind of bothered, But in the mid-80s, when I picked up a book of lists, which was a kind of a book, that compendium of lists of, they asked musicians to name their 10 favourite musicians, and they asked soccer players to name their 10 favourite soccer players or teams. And then Mike Tyson was the champion at the time, and they asked him to name his 10 favourite boxers, and Johnny Kilbane was in at number 5.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I thought, that's the guy my father was talking about.
So Mike Tyson kind of rekindled your interest in this distant cousin of yours.
He did indeed, yeah. Mike Tyson is one of the most knowledgeable, perhaps the most knowledgeable boxing historian in the world.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
That's shocking.
Yeah, well, I mean, you figure a guy at the top of his game like Tyson was.
Well, that's true.
You've got to be a student of the game. Craft as well, yeah.
And the reason why he picked Johnny in Johnny Kilbane in his top 10 was because he studied all those boxing videos that was left to him by Gustamato. When Gustamato died, Mike Tyson inherited all Gustamato's videotapes. and he studied all those films and all those boxers, and he took the best of those boxers and he learned that, and he used that to become a champion himself.
Wow. Okay. We have to take our last break of the hour. We have lots more to talk with you, Des, so we really appreciate you being here. So, folks, stick around. We've got lots more here on The Fred and Jeff Show, and we'll be right back.
In the clearing stands a boxer and a fighter by his trade, and he carries the reminders of every glove that laid him down or cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame, I am leaving, I am leaving, but the fighter still remains.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Estate Garden, the Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum, and PETA Jungle.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeff.
Dun, dun, dun! Da, 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 da. Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
Yeah, you waited very nicely for me to be silly.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm nice to you.
Yes, you are.
So we've been talking, well, first of all, with Mia Schneibel from the Screen Room about the Arizona International Film Festival. And in studio with us, we have one of the directors of a film that's playing tomorrow night called A Fighting Heart. Des Kilbane, and we were talking about the subject of the movie before the break. But let's take a step back for a second, because one of the questions you said earlier that you're working in the medium, I guess, of documentaries.
That's right.
You have to. It's like a court of law. You can't nod your head.
Okay, that's right. It's radio.
So one of the things that always intrigues me about directors, people who do documentaries. How much do you personally get involved in the film? Because, I mean, this is a distant relative, but there are some documentarians who sort of inject themselves into the story, and there's some who just flat out tell the story, and you don't really see them. So, how do you work in that?
Now, where are you along that spectrum?
I suppose I left myself out of it because I prefer the people that are the key people in the film are up front and they're telling the story, and along with archive, and we have some beautiful archive, and so that archive really was the key, but also the people who, like, I would say the relations of the subject, like Johnny Kilbane, they would have played a key role as well, and also boxing historians who knew about him. So they came together to make the story complete.
So there's two things about Johnny Kilbane. Number one, who was he and what did he do?
Well, Johnny Kilbane is the longest reigning world featherweight champion of all time. He held the title from 1912 to 1923.
Wow.
And he fought over 142 fights, on losing four. And two of those defeats were by boxers above his weight, because he had to come out of the featherweight division because he'd beaten everyone in the featherweight division, so he had to go up a weight. And he lost two fights in that division.
That's amazing. 1912 to what year?
1923.
To 1923. So it must have been hard to find archival footage of this guy fighting.
Yes, it was. We really struck lucky with Johnny Kilbane's great grandson Kevin O'Toole in Cleveland. When Johnny's daughter Mary died, Kevin, Mary's grandson, found a trunk in the attic of her home, and in the trunk was all this memorabilia from Johnny's boxing career, including a roll of film that was from 1912. And on the roll of film was this canister was Kilbane versus Attell. So Kevin got in touch with Frank Stallone,
Frank Stallone, that's Rocky's brother.
That's right. Yeah.
Frank Stallone, really? The Sylvester Stallone's brother?
That's right. Yeah, Frank. And Steve Lott, Mike Tyson's former manager. Between the three of them, they found one person in America who could convert this very volatile, very dangerous nitrate film, 100 years old, practically. And they managed to convert it. Now, at the start of the film, it was all ruined. It was like potato chips. But then they went from the 20th round. It was a 20-rounder. So they went from the 20th round back to the 15. So we saw Johnny in the later stages against Abe Attell, the reigning champion, another great boxer himself. And we saw Johnny at the end winning the title. So we were very lucky to have found that, to have got access
and
to that.
So you guys captured the 15th to the 20th round.
That's right.
Of this title match. What year was that match?
1912.
So he started boxing prior to 1912. He won his first championship in 1912.
That's
and
right.
This is the fight?
This is the fight that he won.
Wow.
The title.
That's spectacular.
That is amazing. And this is the only known footage of this guy in this fight.
This is the only, that's the earliest footage in this fight. And this is, it has never been seen before. So this is a kind of a very special event in the sense that like no one have seen this footage before.
That's fantastic. So give us, I mean, I clearly that in itself is a reason to see the movie.
Yeah.
But how do you start the movie? Do you start it as he's a child growing up and then he learns to box and then moves forward to become a champion forever and what happens to him? Or where do you start the journey here?
The journey starts on Achill Island, where I'm from originally, and where Johnny was a distant relation of mine. And his father left Achill Island in the 1870s and arrived in Cleveland, Ohio. And Johnny and his mother, Mary, was born in Cleveland of Achill Island parents. And so Johnny was born in the Angle, a tough area in the west side of Cleveland, which also was known as the Achill Patch because of the number of Achill Islanders living in that area.
And what was the connection between Achill Island? Why did all those folks move to Cleveland?
Well, in the early 1800s, around 1820, the people from Achill Island went and worked on the Erie Canal, on the construction of the Erie Canal, and when one person went, he brought his cousin, his brother over, and paid a fare. So they kept as Cleveland grew, the more people from Achill Island arrived in Cleveland. And so at the end it became the most, like I would say that most people every family in Achill Island has relations in Cleveland.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of Browns fans there, right?
Lots of Browns and Indians fans. Yeah.
Oh, that's very fun. Yeah. So the movie starts there from the move to Achill Island. From Achill
Island. It starts on Achill Island and explains about the Achill clan, as we'll call it, and then we move to Cleveland, and we talk about the Erie Canal and the construction of the Erie Canal and the role played by the people of Achill and that area, you know, the people from the west of Ireland. They played a key role in constructing the Erie Canal.
That's fabulous. And then
we go from there too.
And you pick Johnny's story up.
As a child, Johnny's life story is very tragic, and his mother died when he was three, and his father was blind in an accident when Johnny was about seven. So Johnny had to leave school when he was 10 years old and work on the docks to make a living for his family, keep his family going. So, and he was very small as a man. He was a featherweight.
Now, what's a featherweight?
He would be about 119 pounds, 5 foot five. But as a 10-year-old working on the docks, which would be an unforgiving place to work, he survived by. He was a great dancer. He later became a star of vaudeville as well.
Really?
He could dance, he could sing, he could play the violin. And that's what saved him in the ring. That's why he could survive 142 fights and still keep his pretty boy looks, because he could dance his way out of trouble.
That's awesome. This sounds like a fantastic film. Folks, you've got to get over to the screen room to see this film. Mia, tell us when this film is going to be screened again.
It's going to be screening Monday, April the 21st at the screening room at 6 o'clock.
And here's the downside. How many people can get in to watch it?
130.
So you got to get there quick.
Well, get there.
In to see the movie.
Yeah, we open the box office an hour before.
Okay.
You can buy online. There is a service fee. If you go to our website, www.filmfestivalarizona.com, that way you're guaranteed a seat.
Right.
But that will cost you a little less than $2 extra. Or you just come down early, get your ticket, go next door to one of our lovely sponsors like Elliott's or Empire's, have a drink, and then come on over.
Drinking a slice of pizza over at Empire? Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. You know, the snack bar at the screening room, everything's a buck.
Everything's a dollar.
Even the beer?
We don't have beer at the screening room concessions this year.
That's why you got to go to Empire.
Yeah, or Elliot's.
Or Elliot's.
Yeah, those are good choices.
And they're good people,
and they know the festival schedule, and they'll get you in and out quick.
Awesome.
They know you only have about 10 minutes.
And you have some tickets you want to do somewhere?
Yeah. If you'd like to, I'd like to offer two tickets to Monday night show so everybody can enjoy the
Fighting Heart.
It's going to be really fun. And then you can talk to, you know, the cool thing is this is a great interview, but then you get to see the film and then he'll be hanging out and you can ask him more questions, maybe stay for the 8 o'clock Irish Shorts. And then we're all going to go next door to Elliot's for jazz night and we can just talk about films all night.
That's awesome. Are those Irish Shorts linen?
No.
Oh, darn it. Yes, thanks so much for coming on the show with us today. We really appreciate your time. And we really wish you great success with this movie.
And your career.
Yeah, and your career.
I'm a huge fan of documentaries. I just love the genre.
Yeah. Well, congratulations and good luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And Mia, thanks for bringing us into us.
It's my pleasure, and thanks for having us on again.
Absolutely. Yep. All right, folks, remember, the screening room or the Arizona International Film Festival dot...
It's www.filmfestivalarizona.com.
There you go. And if you want more information, you can also go to friendjeff.com. And Fred, what do you want to give away?
Let's give away a $25 gift certificate to 1702.
How about a $25 gift certificate as well to Pita Jungle?
And
yeah.
No, we're out of those.
No, I got more. Dan gave me some.
Yeah,
more.
One of those too.
Yeah, so first and second to email Fred at friendjeff.com. Get those. And folks, have a great week. We'll talk to you some more next week here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Peter's groovy, take her to a movie. Tell her she's fine, tell her she's fine. Treat her groovy, take her to a movie. Show her a good time, show her a good time. There are so many boys in the world who really need a girl. So treat her groovy, take her to a movie. Tell her she's fine. Tell her she's fine.